histories for the Pittsburgh Unit Women's Overseas Service League. Today I'm going to interview Florence McChesney, a member of the Pittsburgh Unit since about 1971. Florence is actually my first guest for Oral Histories, and we are both anticipating an interesting time with it. Florence, what branch of the service did you serve?
I was in the Army Air Corps, and I served for 5 years.
And where were you assigned? What was the nature of your assignment?
I was working in Detroit, Michigan, and I signed up in April of 43 to go to the Air Corps.
What influenced you to volunteer for the service?
At that time, we were at war, and you heard all these ads requesting nurses to join, and I was influenced, I guess, by that.
Yes. Did you have any resistance from the family or encouragement?
My mother really did not want me to go into the service because she thought, you know, I might get killed. Uh-huh. Other than that, everybody was happy I was going.
Well, what did you do prior to your enlistment?
I worked in Michigan for 1 year in the TB hospital, Herman Kiefer. And that's why I enlisted. And I did want to get out of working in TB because it was, you know, it's a contagious disease, and I thought a year was enough.
Okay. Now, you mentioned, now you were in the Air Force branch. Now, what exactly did you do while you were, you know, on your assignment with the...
My first assignment was Stuttgart, Arkansas. And there I worked in we had a little Air Corps hospital. Wasn't very much because it was a small place. And I worked there for a year, and then I went into training to become a flight nurse. It was very hard to get in to be a flight nurse because that was my main objection when I went in. And it took me a year to get.
What did you have to do? What was the training for flight nurse? What did that consist of?
The training was, we had the same training as the men. We learned how to shoot a pistol. We learned how to go under the barbed wire fences. We had to do all the things that the men had to do because at that time, they wanted you to be prepared in case you got into enemy territory.
Were most of the flight nurses, were they women, or did they have men flight nurses during
your... No, they were all women.
Now, when you became a flight nurse, what transpired then in your assignment?
When I became a flight nurse, then I traveled over the United States. We'd go from one place, like we'll go to New York and pick up patients and bring them to one of the hospitals in the States. And I did that for about 6 months. And I really enjoyed that because I got to see the United States. I went almost every place where there was a near field, and we would pick up patients from the different hospitals and transfer them from one hospital to another.
Well, where did you get some overseas experience, since the Women's Overseas Service League requires a...
After doing some work with the United States, and then I was assigned to go to the South Pacific, and we went to Hawaii. And from Hawaii, we traveled to Saipan, Guam, Okinawa, Manila, and all the areas in the South Pacific. Once a month, I made a trip to the United States, and we would take the men back to the state in California. And sometimes you would go on a trip. I have my, I brought down my records to show you how many. Sometimes the flight was 7.5 hours. Sometimes it was 13 hours. It would depend on where you were going. Of course, when you were flying, you would always stop off at different little airfields, you know. And mostly in the States, we used the C-47s, but in overseas, we used the 54s, which was a much bigger plane.
In recounting your experience, what would you say were the more memorable things that happened while you were doing this work?
Well, one thing, when you were doing flight nursing and you were on your own on the plane, you might have two enlisted men, maybe you might have one aide with you. You did not have a doctor. And before the flight, you'd have to go over all the patients you were picking up and see what kind of medicine they needed and have all the medicine and everything you would need for the flight for them. We always, now in the South Pacific, when we were flying back home to take them to the States, we would always have 5 psychiatric patients and they were strapped down. We had them in full restraints and it was up to the nurse to decide how to treat them on a plane. You were fully responsible for their whole care. If you had blood transfusions, you had IVs going, and sometimes when you were on a flight, you would be busy from the minute you got on the plane until you left, because you would have sometimes as many as 40 to 50 patients.
And you say you were the only nurse on the flight with two
attendants, sometimes only one attendant. It depended on how many patients you had.
Well, did you have like critically ill patients too? Did your particular flights include critically ill?
You had people with, they were with head injuries, psychiatric patients. On every flight back to the States, you always had psychiatric patients, and sometimes, but before we would take a psychiatric patient, we used to at that time give them sodium amytal IV, and they would have an injection before you took them on the plane to keep them quiet most of the time. But many times some of them, they would be in full restraint, so you would have to relieve their hands and relieve their feet from restraint so that they could give them some exercise while they were on a plane. And you really were busy because, and then you had to give patients morphine. We were allowed to carry morphine and codeine, and we had a little spoon that you had to heat it in at that time. And then besides that, you'd have to give them their meals, which we had soup and sandwiches or whatever we took on the plane. Everybody would have to be fed. So time would go very, very fast when you were making a flight.
Yeah, it's apparent. Yeah, with the limited personnel, you really were busy. Did you have anything unusual happen throughout, whether it was related to patient care or not, but did anything unusual happen during your military experience that you...
Okay. One time while I was on a flight, that one of the windows blew open to the airplane, and we always carried them orange vest for, and one of them fell out the window. I must have counted them patients 50 times to make sure none of the patients fell out, because that really brings a big draft.
With a suction reaction.
Yeah, the suction, and oh, was I scared. I counted them over and over.
That would have been a very difficult moment. What was the nature of your housing when you were, of course, obviously when you're in flight, but outside of your flight times, where did you stay?
Most of the time we had apartments. In Hawaii, there was 5 of us lived in one apartment. It might have been 3 bedrooms, so we'd have to share.
Was this military housing?
Military housing, yes. Very nice apartments. We had it very nice. When I was stationed at Guadalcanal, though, we lived in little huts. And I was in Guadalcanal for a whole year practically, well, flying back and forth, you know, but that was where I stayed. And we had natives there used to try to jump over the fence because they always wanted a white woman, and we had to be especially careful there in Guadalcanal.
But what about in the United States?
In the United States, we always had very, very nice apartments. We lived in very beautiful, we had usually houses, and they all were subdivided into apartments.
Now, this housing, was it just strictly for the female officers, or did you have, was it housing also which included, male officers?
No, this was just for the flight nurses, because we'd have our own little area. We lived near the commanders, whoever had homes around there, we always had a home too. Only for the flight nurses.
Now, when you needed medical attention, how was that handled? Say if a flight nurse became ill or suffered some other
Wherever we were at, we would just go to the dispensary. If we needed to be in a hospital, they would put us in a hospital, and we were treated the same as the males.
Many of the flight nurses, was the number of nurses, were there many casualties or nurses that came down with illness, motion sickness or something of that sort?
As far as I can recall, there was very little sickness among the nurses. Once in a while, someone would get a case of virus or diarrhea, but other than that, there was very little sickness.
That's very good. What about your uniform? Can you tell us what you started out with, and if there was any change while you were, after you became a flight nurse?
When I first went into service, we wore the blue uniform. We had skirts and jackets with the white shirt. Then later, it changed to olive, and we had to get all new uniforms because blue was out. As far as the dress, we had a dress that was beige, but we always had to wear an Air Corps signet on all our uniforms. The same with their hats. We had the little overseas cap, and then we had a big, the regular dress cap like the men wore.
Did you wear the seersuckers at any time since you were, flying out of the South Pacific area because they were using seersucker slacks?
We had the seersuckers, yeah. In the summertime, we did wear them. And we mainly didn't wear them for dress, so they were more for
your duty.
Duty, yes.
Yes, your duty uniform. Can you compare your nursing in the service with your nursing following, your military service?
Well, I think nursing being in the Air Corps was altogether different than in following, because in the Air Corps, you were the one who was in charge of everything. In fact, when you were flying, if a patient got sick, you could tell the pilot to even fly lower. Or if it was too cold and you didn't want to take, when I was up in Alaska, one time it was so cold that we could on the plane that I refused to take patients because it was just too cold on the plane to take them. And so you were really responsible for the patients on the plane, and you could tell the pilot little things that you were allowed to tell them, like if you had a patient that was very sick, you might tell the pilot, not to fly as high. And another thing was, up in Alaska when you were flying, before you would come to the hospital, you'd always have to give the pilot a note telling him to call the hospital ahead of time and tell them how many patients you were bringing and have the ambulances there. You would call the hospital from the plane before you landed, and you'd give the pilot this information.
You certainly had a need for considerable more initiative than probably you experienced, I guess, subsequent to your military service, because in hospitals and so forth, you always have the physicians there to
Yeah, like when you wanted to give morphine, you had it. That was on your own. You gave the patient the morphine. Of course, his record says he was allowed to have it, but when you would be responsible for seeing that they got all the medicines. Same way with the IVs on a plane. You always had one or two IVs going. And if a patient needed blood, he would get blood on a plane. And you were responsible for seeing that they got all this.
As a flight nurse, what was your rank and your pay? Do you recall?
I don't recall the pay, but I do. I was first when you become a nurse in the Army. At that time, you were second lieutenant. Then I got to be first lieutenant.
Was that when you became a flight nurse? Did you get promoted?
Yeah, I was first lieutenant when I became a flight nurse. And then as I was leaving, there was a regulation that everybody was captain, but you know they were promoting us automatically, and I was a captain for 2 days, but I was discharged, and they rescinded the order.
Oh. So you came out as a first lieutenant. So you really, and when did you come out of the service then? When did you terminate your?
Well, at first when I was in the South Pacific, I was in from 43 to 46, and I got out of the service for 1 year. And I decided, after working at home, I didn't like it, so I went back in the service from 47 to 49. And when I went back in the second time, I told them the only way I would come back is if I could get back into the flight nursing. And I was very fortunate. They wrote back and says, we have only one place you can go, and that is to Alaska. So I took that Alaska assignment.
And you were there, your second tour of duty was all in Alaska?
All in Alaska.
And that went, and what was the nature of that assignment? Where were you taking patients
well,
then?
Well, in Alaska, I went to Nome, Fairbanks, at Adak, which was quite a distance away, and we were based at Anchorage, though.
So, well, that was very interesting. So you really had two tours of duty.
Yes, uh-huh.
Did you experience any conflict about being a female officer and being a military person?
No, that was one thing that was very nice because everybody treated us very well. The men were very glad to see us. They carried our suitcases whenever we were on flight, and they did a lot of little things for us that I was surprised, but they did a lot of. They were gentlemen.
Yeah, personal services.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you do you think that was true when the WACs came into the service? Were they offered the same kind, or do you think that the courtesies were offered you because you were a nurse and perhaps held in a different esteem?
Well, being in the Air Corps, anywhere we went, as far as the WACs were concerned, they had very nice quarters in the South Pacific. And we were very friendly with them because,
yes.
And I think the same thing with the men there. The ones I knew, anyhow, all had good relationships.
Your second tour of duty terminated in 1949. Okay. Then is that when you began your university experience? Was that part of the GI Bill, or were you, did you?
No, before I went into the GI Bill, I went to the visiting nursing, and I worked a couple years, and then I went to Pitt under the GI Bill, yes.
Uh-huh. And you got your bachelor's degree?
I got my bachelor's, then I went
What was that in? What was the, what did you
nursing
get
Nursing Administration. And then I went back in and I got my master's degree, but part of that I had to pay on my own because I was...
You had already exhausted.
I dropped out and went back later and finished up.
Oh, was that after the GI Bill was in effect then? Is that how, or did you exhaust your benefits? Your educational benefits.
I know I had to pay part of that.
When to get back to the to the service, what did you feel that any part of it was difficult or required more adjustment? You know, whether like the uniform or living with others or the regulations or the restriction, you know, of movement. Did you find any part of it?
I didn't have any trouble in the service. I was a pretty good nurse. And I didn't have any trouble in the service, and I made some very good friends that I'm still, we see each other, some of the pilots and some of the nurses I see, and we write to quite often. And one thing I forgot to tell you, but I want to tell you this, I was one of the first nurses to go to Okinawa to pick up the injured patients there. When we landed in Okinawa, right away there was a raid and we had to go into a shelter. When I picked up the patients to take them back home, I had a bunch of candy that the Red Cross gave me. And of course we had hard-boiled eggs and some other stuff, I don't recall that. But those men were so glad to get that hard candy that I didn't have a thing left when I landed in back home.
Back in the States.
Yeah.
Then, did you get any battle stars? You mentioned Okinawa. That apparently was still a battle zone. Did you get any battle stars?
I got the...
Go ahead.
I can't recall, but I know I got something from the Air Corps. You know, when you flew you had to fly 12 hours and you got a medal for flying for overseas. And then I also got several ribbons, but I don't remember what they were.
Okay. Well, let's go back to the GI Bill. Now, you mentioned you did use the educational part of the GI Bill. Did you use any of the other services that were available under that were covered under the GI Bill? Like housing or?
I might have used the GI Bill when I first bought my first home. And I went through the GI Bill for that.
Okay. Now, let's see. Now you came. Now, actually, your second tour of duty was completed in terminated in 1949, and you did mention you worked with the Visiting Nurse Association, and you mentioned also going to the University of Pittsburgh for your baccalaureate and your master's degree. What's followed subsequent?
I went to the Veterans Hospital at Leech Farm here in Pittsburgh, and I worked there for 20 years in the psychiatric hospital. And I was first supervisor of a building, and then later we changed over and we became clinical specialists. All the ones that had their master's degree were entitled to be clinical specialists, and that's we didn't
and
have.
And what was involved in your clinical specialist work?
In the psychiatric hospital, it's a little different than the general hospitals in the fact that you did you interviewed patients, you did one-to-one with them, you had individual therapy, you had group therapy with patients. You were responsible, instead of being called a supervisor, you took charge just like a supervisor would of a building.
Your work at the Veterans Administration Hospital, you retired from the Veterans Administration Hospital. You remained there until your retirement.
Yes, uh-huh. I retired from, my mother was ill and I had to retire because I wanted to stay.
1974. Did you experience any conflict or losses? You know, leaving the nursing field, did you continue in any aspect?
Well, since my mother was sick and I wanted to spend some time with her, I really didn't want to leave, but I did want to spend time with my mother. I did have ambivalent feelings about quitting. But today I'm glad I did, because I understand there's so many changes and all up at the Veterans Hospital. I still keep in touch with them, and we get together. They have a reunion once a year for all the retirees, so I see many of them then.
Now, the only question I think that remains, that we know you're a very active member with the Pittsburgh Unit Women's Overseas Service League. Just what does it mean, being a member of the Women's Overseas Service League?
First of all, when I was approached to join the Women's Overseas Service League, I was still working at Beach Farm Hospital, and I did not want to get involved. They were having a special meeting, excuse me, with Dr. Pat Smith being a guest there, so I decided I would go to this meeting. And it was such a nice group of people there, I joined. And I am an active worker. I like to keep busy, so I do get involved with whatever's going on. But the one thing is, the ladies in Pittsburgh are very good workers, and I enjoy going to the meetings.
Well, we know that you have been an officer of the unit in different capacities, and also chairman of some of the committees. Do you want to make any reference to some of the nature of those activities?
Well, I was president for 2 years, and I'm now on the I'm the service chairman, and I visit all the sick people right now. And I also send birthday cards to all the members. And not one other thing I do is I go to the Aspinwall VA Hospital, because we give a birthday gift to all the female patients there on their birthday. So I have to check this out quite often, and I present them either with a gown or a sweater or something that they might need on their birthday.
Well, Florence, this has really been very interesting. I just hope that all this was recorded that we had talked about during this period of time. And thank you very, very much.